Welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, the podcast for big dreamers and high achievers to help them see themselves for who they really are, not who the world has taught them to be or pressured them to be or made them feel like they should be, but to help you see who you really are so that you can be yourself and bring the fullness of who you are to your dream and all of the freaking amazing things that you're creating. I'm your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Charlsie Childers, with a master's in organizational psychology. And oh my goodness, this episode, I feel like I say this every time, this episode is straight up fire. All right, so how do you know if this episode is for you and if you're going to get value out of it? Well, let's see. If you are currently doing or desire to do something that is different than what anyone else around you is doing, if it goes against the grain of what you were raised to do, or if it's different than the path you originally carved out for yourself, which is something I could so relate to, then you are really going to resonate with this episode. We also dive into Babs, my special amazing guest for this episode, which, by the way, he is the first male on this show. So let's just give it up to Babs for leading this train in the direction that it's going, because choo-choo, it has so much momentum. Oh my gosh, the feedback that I give from you, how I hear how these episodes connect with you and vibe with you, and just how much goodness you're getting out of it. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I am just so excited for this episode. So, all right, we dive into Babs's personal struggles with learning how to accept himself and the parts of him that he once perceived to be a weakness that he didn't necessarily like about himself. In his case, that was being an introvert. And as a more emotionally attuned leader, if you will, he had to learn how to accept these things and to not see them as something bad. Do you have any parts of yourself like that? All right. So we also discuss imposter syndrome and thinking, is this good enough? Am I good enough? That sort of thing. And then lastly, we dive into strengthening our internal roots in such a way that the external doesn't cause us to sway in the wind so much, that we're not so affected by what's going on in the external. We go into identifying and fulfilling your purpose, using our failures to redefine us rather than define us, such a difference. And we go into so, so much more. This episode is so good. If you could resonate with any of that, then put your earbuds in and just keep going. Whether it is cleaning the kitchen or driving to work or working on some mundane task that you're working on right now, whatever it is, listen to this freaking episode. As I said, I am so extremely honored that Babs is the first male guest on the show. He sets such a precedence of the power that is to come and the caliber of people, conversations, vulnerability, and big ass amazing dreams that we have inside of us. So get ready. Here you go. This episode with Babs. Oh my gosh, Babs, this is happening. Thank you so much for being on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. I am super duper excited to have you here, not only for the synergies and the parallels between us, but because of the work that you do. I know how self-aware you are, and I know that this is going to be a really expansive and impactful conversation, not only fun for us, but also for the listeners. And guess what? You're also the first male on the podcast. That is so, so freaking cool and exciting. So congratulations on being the first male, on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. And you are literally leading this new paradigm and paving the way for this new paradigm. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for opening your world up to to men. And that's a very big task to be the first male on the podcast. But I hope that we would have a great conversation today. Well, thank you for the great work you're doing with your podcast. You're doing amazing work, and you're shaping destinies and you're influencing lives around the world. That's definitely commendable.
Woo, woo. Way to drop the mic. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for that acknowledgement and recognition. You know, one of the things that I absolutely love most about seeing your inner brilliance, I love highlighting what big dreamers and high achievers are doing, not only because they're freaking amazing and everything that we're doing is amazing and what we're creating, but also because it helps us normalize our own big dreams in our nervous system. And it allows our mind to more easily accept them so that we don't feel so crazy in doing what we're trying to do. So if you will, for the listeners, will you give us a bird's eye view into your life right now? What's going on for you? What the next level of success and impact looks for you? Because I know you are no stranger to doing the impossible and pushing beyond those thresholds.
Well, thank you very much for giving me that opportunity. I like to say that I have summarized really what I do into three words. I'm a strategist by profession. I'm an entrepreneur just by nature. And lastly, I'm a speaker. I believe the power of words, and I believe in sharing my thoughts and influencing people through the words that I speak. I currently lead an initiative called Cracking the Life Code, which is a community really of people who are invested, committed, and interested in becoming 1% better each day. So we're building this community. It's a community of individuals, people who are seeking total life mastery, and people who are just looking to become better versions of themselves. So we have coaching sessions, we have gatherings where we just sharpen each other, and we also have conferences. Now, the next phase of our evolution really is taking our conferences global. So we're considering a few other markets outside of the United States where we can bring this message of cracking the life code to people where they are. So that's the next phase of our evolution at Cracking the Life Code. I'm also very humbled to be the author of the book Cracking the Life Code. Really, essentially what I did with Cracking the Life Code book is to condense lessons that I've learned over the 20 years of my personal growth journey into a manuscript that could be very helpful for readers to navigate different areas of life. So I'm very happy also for Cracking the Life Code. On the professional end, I'm a strategy leader. Essentially, I am the chief strategy officer of Rhodes Consulting, a practice that really just help global brands position themselves, build strategies to help them perform better in markets versus their competitors.
That was so beautifully articulated, so beautifully articulated. As far as your professional journey goes of being a strategy consultant, and now here you are as an author, and you are leading a movement of people who are looking to be 1% better, which first of all, kudos to you for accepting that call to be that voice and to be that leader. I know from my own experience and what I do with coaching, you can't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk as well. And so in your case, you can't just write the book. You can't teach things unless you practice and even more so embody them for yourself. So what are some obstacles that and some struggles that have come up in your life, whether internally or externally, that have played a pivotal part in your journey?
That's a beautiful question. I ran into the room one day and met my mom crying. I was probably under 10 at the time, and I asked my mom why she was crying. She told me she had received the bad news from her mom, and she was not in a place to help her mom at the time, and that broke her heart. So she was crying, just watching my mom, who was my favorite person at the time, cry really broke my heart as well. And at that very early age in life, I decided that I'll do everything within my power as I grow older to live a life and build a life that allows me to provide help for members of my family when they need it. And that literally set a fire in my bones. And at that early age of 10, I began to look for what else life had to offer than the immediate challenges that surrounded my upbringing at the time. I wanted to see what else life had to offer. Being born and raised in a very difficult time on the wilderness of Nigeria. I'm very blessed to have a librarian mother who had access to books, and so she would bring books home. As an introverted kid, I really didn't have a lot of friends, and so I spent a lot of time with myself alone in my bed and with my thoughts. And so I read a lot of books because I wasn't out playing a lot, so I had a lot of time in my bed to read a lot of books. And as I began to read these books, I began to uncover the secrets of the other side of life. I began to uncover the secrets of success. And along the line, you might consider the simple fact that I'm an introvert, you might consider that a big challenge if you see how many people perceive introverts today. They generally assume that they're socially awkward. They generally assume that they don't get along pretty well in society. They're not everybody's favorites, and all of that. So as a child, I dealt with all of those challenges, bullying from classmates in school, and you know, and all of that. But I found safety in my thoughts. I found safety in books, and I found safety in my bed. So I spent a lot of time in my bed. But then as I've evolved as an adult, having understood that really being an introvert is not a disadvantage, it's not what society claim it is, it's just the fact that I don't recharge myself and my energy with a crowd or with a ton of people, and that I recharge when I'm alone. And that's really pretty much the difference. As soon as I got a better understanding of that, I really began to flourish in my introverted nature. And so I accepted that as who I am, and I began to flourish in it. There's so many obstacles to your question that I've faced through the course of my life, coming out of college and, you know, having studied clinical biochemistry and hoping to go into med school, which was naturally the career that my family had chosen for me. And then coming home to tell my parents I would not be pursuing medicine was a very big hurdle for an early 20s-year-old at the time. And my dad placed a bet on my life. He told me, listen, you're going to have to prove to me the rest of your life that you're capable of living a successful life outside of the walls of a hospital. And I took that as a big challenge. You really don't want to, as an African child born to African parents, you dare not go against the will of your parents. I mean, that's how we were raised. So it was the first time in my entire life that I was doing something that was contrary to the will of my parents. But I had a strong conviction inside of me that it was a direction I had to go. At this time, I had discovered what my purpose was, and I knew clearly that the choice of my career had to be in line with my purpose. And so as soon as I was very clear that this was what I needed to do, I definitely stood for what I believed, and the rest is history today. But that was a very tough obstacle to cross, having to look my parents in the eye and tell them I would not be pursuing the career that you set out for me since birth. I believe my parents had that great desire since I was born that, oh, this is finally going to be our medical doctor, this is going to be our cardiologist and all that. And then I'm showing up saying, no, I want to pursue a career in business. That was definitely a tough one. Now, thinking about several other obstacles and causes of my life, migrating to the United States was never an easy feat for me. Leaving everything I've ever known, my family, my friends, the networks, and all that I've done behind, and just moving into a completely different economy, market, if you will, or country, depending on how you want to see it, and then having to start life over from scratch, with no friends, no family, became so lonely, lots of doors shut against me. But then I had to walk through all of those obstacles, knowing clearly what my vision was and staying very true to myself authentically and dealing with all of the rejections and walking through all of those difficult times to a point where I was able to break those barriers and break into the market and then make a name for myself today. Everything else is history.
Wow, Babs, you are obviously an incredible, incredible person, and you are also an inspiration. I know so many of us can relate in some way. Maybe it's not from the African culture of being brought up and, you know, and following your parents' footsteps, but maybe it's other external pressures that have been imposed on us. And so you just speaking to that allows us to own it and say, hey, we can own this. We can identify it without shaming our parents or the people who were involved. We can talk about it. We can work through it, and we can become better on the other side. It can propel us in our success, in our impact, in our calling. And so thank you for being vulnerable and giving voice to that external pressure.
Thank you. We should really never shame our parents. Not at all. To be honest, I think that my parents did the best they could and gave everything to raise three wonderful boys. And I'll be forever proud of the work that my parents did. Absolutely amazing father and mother. I'm just so honored and privileged to be born into that family. People with intention who knew exactly how they wanted to raise their boys and how they wanted their boys to turn out in society as responsible adults. I am so grateful for them. But there comes a time in life when, as an adult, you would have to choose a path that aligns with your calling. And very often, not a lot of people are able to see the vision that's given to you. You may have to convince the world about your vision. Now, there's constantly these two battles that we always have to face. The battle of authenticity or the battle of acceptance. So constantly we're juggling between these two. Do I want to be authentic to who I am, my purpose, my calling? Or do I want, for the fear of rejection, do I want to pursue acceptance? Sometimes when we pursue acceptance, then we live what is called a life of quiet desperation. It's the life of quiet desperation where internally we know that we're not being authentic to ourselves. We're not being the real core of who we are called to be, because we want to be accepted either by family or society or a certain religious belief or whatever it is. But then other times when we decide I want to be authentic, then we've got to be ready for the rejection that might bring to us. So for me, at that time, I just wanted to pursue what I knew my calling was and what my purpose was. And I knew also that at the end of the day, there's going to be a full circle moment where the people who weren't able to see the vision that early in my life would ultimately see the results and be like, oh, wow, this was what you saw at 2021 that we did not see. But thank you for staying true to that vision.
I don't know about you, but what Babs is talking about right here with the battle of authenticity or the battle of acceptance. Oh my gosh. So, so good. I literally wrote down the last paragraph of what he said. I do want to chime in on something, because I don't want to give the illusion that all acceptance is a bad thing, so to speak. No, acceptance is actually an innate need of ours. We have an innate need for connection and acceptance from others. When we want our parents, when we want our family or friends or whoever to accept us, that is normal and natural, right? But it's when we start looking to the external to satisfy our innate needs for connection and acceptance that it shifts from healthy to unhealthy. And it starts to manifest in the form of people-pleasing, comparison, perfectionism, external validation, letting the traditional and external measures of success determine our worth, and so much more. So at some point, acceptance goes from being a healthy tendency and need to being unhealthy. And it's when there is a dependency, when we are looking to the external, whether it be people, a job, our Instagram followers, a number of downloads, number of customers, I don't know, whatever it is, when we're looking to those things from a standpoint of desperation, dependency, attachment of them, that I need them in order to be and feel a certain way about myself, that's when it shifts and it manifests into people-pleasing, perfectionism, comparison, and all of the other things that I just listed And so inevitably, this chase for worthiness, validation, and acceptance, it becomes a fleeting, ever-moving target that we never truly achieve, because the satisfaction, confirmation, and acceptance we're looking for is never truly fulfilled by external sources. They can meet our need, but being the source of our need is where we get tripped up. Does that make sense? This is definitely something I go way, way deeper into inside of my course or inside of my program, Unstoppable. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, if you're feeling called to check that out, I definitely encourage you to check that link out in the episode description. But really, I wanted to chime in here and differentiate the healthy side of acceptance and the unhealthy side, because the last thing I would want you for you to do is walk away from this episode feeling bad because you want acceptance, you want recognition, you want acknowledgement. No, not all acceptance is bad. It's when we cross over into the unhealthy side and we become dependent and reliant on it, that's when it can physically manifest and just create a whole new life of its own. All right, back to the episode. It reminds me something in your book that you speak to, which, by the way, I want to insert a big and bold and beautiful plug as, in, as far as your book goes, because like I was mentioning before we pressed record that I read a lot of books and it's very easy for me to identify or at least have a good inkling of whether or not it's going to be a book when a good book when I pick it up. In your book, I opened it, started reading it, and I was like, oh yes, oh yes, this is going to be binge worthy. So I definitely encourage all of the listeners to check out Cracking the Life Code and purchasing your book. Babs, one thing, you speaking to authenticity and acceptance in your book, you encourage the readers to get real and honest with themselves. So I would love to know for you and from your perspective, was there ever a time when you couldn't be honest with yourself, when something was either blocking you or you had to just really be a student of your own work?
Yeah, thank you so much for that beautiful plug. And thanks for highlighting the work that I'm doing with my Cracking the Life Code book. And thank you for the positive words. Frankly, there have been times in my life where it was so difficult for me to accept who I was. One of them would be how my father's such a sociable person. He's got such great personality. He walks into the room and everybody's excited. He just makes people happy, you know? And there is me, and then there is my middle brother who's exactly like my dad, you know? And so I am somewhere in the middle of two very powerful, very, you know, outgoing, sociable people. And so that being in that middle for a long time was difficult for me. And I found myself severally trying to be like either my younger brother or my dad. I lived in the shadow of my dad for a very long time, where I pretended to be that very sociable type. I pretended to be the life of the party. I struggled, but then I failed at these pretense. Many times to this day, I would find myself checking myself every once in a while, say, hey, that's not you. That's not who you are. Yeah, it's okay to not be the life of the party. It's okay to not be the type who everybody wants to be around. It's fine to be yourself. So yeah, there are several moments where I would say to myself that I'm that happy, bubbly, sociable type. But indeed, I do know that at the core of my being is a calm, quiet, powerful person.
And that reminds me, you start the book off talking about the codes that are programmed inside of us, whether they are in supportive or not in support of. So in you mentioning being an introvert and not being as loud and expressive, which I can definitely relate to your dad as far as that goes, but not being that way, do you feel like it was a code that was programmed into you that maybe success looks like that, power looks like that, whatever else looks like that particular way?
Yeah, I mean, growing up and the point you're making here is where I talked about codes and how, you know, when a child is born, there is no manual for navigating life. You don't have a baby in the hospital and the doctor shows up with a manual saying, hey, this is the manual by which you will raise this kid. So life does not come with a manual. Usually when a child arrives the planet, the child arrives a blank slate. And so it's like a life that arrives the planet blank and waiting to be written upon by life. And so the child begins to pick up signals from the parents in the life or the adults in the life of the child. These adults could be parents, they could be family members, they could be teachers, they could be religious leaders, name it. Whatever adult has influence or has any direct contact with the child becomes the source of signals by which this child's mind and brain is coded. So every conversation, every word, every action that's done around this child programs the child for what the child would ultimately live by in terms of principles, values, behaviors, mindset at the end of the day. So that's what I think you are bringing up, which I wrote extensively about. And so when I discovered that, though, personally, the way I carry myself, interact with kids changed completely, knowing that every word I speak, my actions, can have an incredible impact in the life of a child who has no idea what I'm doing at the time that I'm doing it. So growing up, yes, I did see my parents invested a lot in us, teaching us to first understand what character was, understanding integrity, ensuring that education was important, and lastly, becoming, you know, responsible adults in society. And one of the things that became very clear early on was that they wanted us to be successful. They wanted us to be leaders. And to do this, when you study leaders at the time that I was born, I'm 40. So at the time I was born, leaders then were people who looked like, they looked mean. Just looking at them, they looked really mean. They looked like people you needed to, you know, to show up and be like the lion of the tribe of whatever in order to carry the persona of leadership, either that, whether that be military leadership or that be democratic leadership or that be CEO of organizations. That's changed significantly today. In today's society, we're having more vulnerable leaders. We're having leaders who think more about people, who are personable and all that. But back in the day, we had leaders, examples of leaders were not exactly, you know, people who could show emotion. They were people who were stoical in nature, and you had to be hard. And I remember my dad saying severally, you know, when I was learning to ride bicycle, I'll bruise my knee, you know, fall a few times, and my dad will pick me up and tell me, you cannot cry. You're a man. You've got to be a man. You cannot cry. So just get up and get back on the bicycle. And then I'll look at my cousin, who's a girl, about my age at the same time, and we're learning to ride the bicycle together, and she'll fall off her bike, and my dad will pick her up and pat her on the back and pamper her and be like, oh my God. And I'll be like, why is he treating me this way versus my, which I understand you don't want to raise men who don't feel, who don't come across as though they are able to handle all the life throws at them. But I think that over time, what has happened was that perception that to be strong, to be successful, to be a leader, you've got to be this A type. You've got to be, you just have to be strong in the definition of strength by society. Those were codes that I originally picked up as a kid, and I thought that was really the way to demonstrate leadership, the way to show that you're successful in life. But then, having grown and understood through the work that I've done in personal growth and personal development, I have now realized that the strongest leaders are actually the most vulnerable leaders, that the most powerful influencers in the world are people who have access, who bring themselves to a point where they could be accessible to the people that they lead. And so I've had to unlearn some of the things that I learned as a kid and break that code, which is what I'm talking about in cracking the life code, and replace those codes with new, strong, powerful, and empowering codes.
And codes that are in support of where we're going and who we want to be is really what I took away from the book. And also just with my background, you know, because what you just shared, that adorable little story you shared about riding the bike, that goes back to your authenticity. And what is authentic to you? And showing emotion, you know, yes, there is a way that we can raise you in a way to where you can handle life obstacles, at the same time also raising you in a way to where you can feel your emotions and you're in tune with your emotions, which goes back to just being authentic and knowing yourself. That's awesome. So I know that you mentioned earlier on in our conversation that you are looking to bring the Cracking the Life Codes community to global conferences, which is a huge feat. I do want to say, because you are so humble, that you are also working on your second book and your doctorate, which, oh my gosh, is unbelievably amazing. And I hope that for the listeners who are listening to this episode, that just hearing that inspires you. That we are here as big dreamers. We are here as high achievers. BABS is the epitome of that. And we don't have to pick one thing. We can do several variations of things. And so BABS, with everything that you're working on right now, what are the internal obstacles, the internal just stuff that has come up for you, whether it's imposter syndrome or a particular doubt that you have either addressed and worked through in the past or is presently coming up for you?
Well, imposter syndrome is a very big one. And very often people think that when you've done a lot of work on yourself, you're just perfect and you don't have anything to worry about. But that's not true. I have to interact with people who are global leaders in their industries. I have to speak sometimes on media platforms that are really huge and sometimes make presentations to clients. And I have to say there are times where I struggle. Questions like, am I good enough? Is this good enough? Will this really deliver the results that I'm hoping for? Will this elicit the kinds of reaction that I'm hoping for? So there are many times where I actually shut down great ideas by myself before I present them, where I'm saying, analysis paralysis. I'm going, this is probably not good enough. This is probably not going to create that wow effect. And what's very interesting is sometimes I might just let a little piece of that idea, a sliver of that idea, out to someone who I respect or someone who's a mentor, and they would say, wow, that's amazing. And then I'll realize that I shut down an idea that could have changed, an organization, because I just felt like it wasn't good enough. So there are so many times where I struggled with the whole idea of, am I good enough? I'm a black male African man in the United States with an accent. And so I'm asking myself, for people who think fundamentally that intelligence is defined by the way that Americans speak English, how do I face these people and convince them that behind the accent and the color is a person who is extremely intelligent and able to perform the task that's at hand? And so these things, they stare at me in the face every morning. Every time I wake up and I have to get out of the door, I have to look in the mirror and tell myself a few positive things. And you're powerful. You're intelligent, you're smart. Because there are days where I come back home and ask myself, really, have I lied to myself this whole time saying that I was smart? Maybe I'm not as smart as I thought. You know, you go through experiences in life where you go, you question your abilities, you question your self-worth, you question everything that you've known about yourself. But then when I go to bed and I wake up the next day and I do my meditation, I go through all of my morning routine, I empower myself again and tell myself, listen, yesterday's gone. Today's a new day. I have a fresh opportunity to show myself that I'm able and I'm exactly who I know I am.
Thank you for sharing that. And I know so many of us listening, myself included, we do question ourselves, and we can, of course, around who am I? Am I good enough? That sort of thing. And I've seen from my line of work that I refer to those as upper limits, where divinely we are being called into higher levels, and internally, oftentimes related back to our codes in your lingo, the codes are pulling us down. They're pulling us down. They're like, stay safe, stay safe. And so for you, where do you think this, am I good enough to do this? Where do you think that comes from? Do you think it is connected to a particular code?
I mean, honestly, I think it's just a natural instinct, except for narcissists who just think that they can do just about anything. But for everyone else, I think it's natural. And as I talk to people, as I coach people, as I mentor people, I've found over the years that it's a common thing, regardless of what level you are in your career or what level you are in the society. It's a common thing where there's always that point where you're thinking, if you're wondering if you're good enough or not. So for me, it's a constant battle. I don't think there would ever come a point where I'm 100% immune to thinking about those things, but I've learned over time to keep working at it and constantly reinforcing my strength and constantly encouraging and supporting myself to believe in who I am. And I do that every day.
Babs, speaking truth to yourself, reminding yourself who you are, who you were created to be, where you're going, and somebody who is looking to make a big impact, an even bigger impact that you've already made. Of course, like you were alluding to, of course you are going to face, you know, those types of just doubts and imposter syndrome that rise up within you. And the fact that you continue to remind yourself and go back to who you are and what you're doing and maybe why you're doing it and just staying solidifying that is really powerful. And so I really acknowledge you for that.
Thank you. Keeping the roots grounded is very important. You might not be able to tell what the weather situation will be tomorrow if you're like a plant or a tree. And so it could be harsh weather today, it could be windy tomorrow. But the one thing that you can do is ensure that the roots are deeply grounded so you can withstand whatever comes your way. So I have no control over how happy or sad my neighbor is. I have no control over how, you know, the transit system in New York operates. Maybe the train will break down. I have no control over that. So many things in life I have no control over. I have no control over the fact that someone will spill their coffee on my white shirt. I have no control over any of these things. However, the one thing I have control over is what goes on in my mind, is what goes on within me. I'm able to shut my mind to negativity and empower myself internally and strengthen the core of my being, knowing exactly who I am, where I need to be, where I'm headed. And with these conviction, I can navigate life and understand that regardless of what life throws at me, my roots are deeply secured and I can withstand them. And so one day might be bad. There's always going to be a better day the next day.
Hallelujah and amen. You just took us to Self-Worth Church with that. That was so, so extremely well said. And of course, I am in complete agreement and alignment with what you said, is us being deeply rooted in who we are is everything. It is completely everything. And so based on you saying that, I'm curious for you and from your amazing perspective, how do you know when you're deeply rooted and when you're not?
I mean, I guess understanding clearly the first maybe question is, where are the roots going? Understanding that first, before we can plant roots or even determine that we want to stay grounded, I guess we need to take a step backwards and ask ourselves questions like the why. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Because that precedes a lot of other questioning that we would need to do. The first question is about understanding the why. Why are we here? I do believe that everyone that's put on this planet Earth is here for a specific purpose. And I know that when we identify this purpose, the rest of our lives becomes a lot less stressful. So discovering this purpose is great. However, fulfilling the purpose is even greater. I like to say that identifying our purpose is not sufficient. It's no guarantee of its fulfillment. So we've got to take it a step further to fulfill it. Now, talking about grounding or building deeper roots, question is, once we understood, we've had a clear understanding of what our purpose is, that's when we begin to dig in. That's when we begin to dig in. We begin to invest in ourselves in line with our purpose. We make all our investment in ourselves, which might be exposing ourselves to materials that are in line with our purpose, which might be exposing ourselves to positive words, which might be reading books that inspire us positively. These are things that help strengthen the core of our being so that when life throws any challenge at us, we're able to withstand them. Now, the way to know, to your question, if you're deeply rooted, is really to see how you react when life throws little things at you. Are you the type who just breaks down at the slightest challenge? Are you the type who just, you crumble under the tiniest pressure? Are you the type who goes out of character, completely out of character for something totally inconsequential? Are you the person who's unable to manage your emotions carefully in a way that you don't hurt other people when things go bad? These are signs that you're deeply rooted or you're not deeply rooted. When you just act out of character so easily, or when you lose hope very quickly, or when you just fall apart under the tiniest pressure, then you know, oh well, there's a lot of work that I need to do to strengthen the core of my being.
Oh, and hearing you say that, it really reminds me of what I refer to as circumstantial power or inherent power. So to add on to what you've said, as far as the reacting, are you reacting to situations beyond your control that you wouldn't normally, you know, react to or respond in that way? And so when circumstances and conditions are good, do you feel good? Do you feel positive? Do you feel happy? And then when circumstances or conditions are not ideal, who are you? And so when we have, you've mentioned the swaying of the wind, or you've used a wind analogy. I know that when the wind comes, who are you? Do you move with the wind, or are you unaffected? And that unaffectedness in my world is an indication of the inherent power and your roots being deep and grounded. So once again, circling back to what we were talking about in the beginning, is that our work is very parallel. And so I wanted to add that on to help maybe drive that home for somebody who's wondering, am I rooted? Am I rooted in who I am and in my purpose? Babs, this has been such an amazing, beautiful, expansive, powerful conversation. And I am so, so grateful to not only have been connected with you, then also for you to be the first male on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. And this just came to me, which is such a beautiful depiction. You being the first male, you are leading the movement of more males being on the show. And you leading a movement is exactly what you're doing in your own life right now. So that is a beautiful physical manifestation of what you're doing. So thank you so much for being here. And before we go, I would love to open it up to you. Is there anything like you would like to add or leave with the listeners?
Thank you so much for all the kind words, and thank you for having me. Definitely enjoying this conversation. And I know that I talked a lot about, you know, understanding purpose and living your purpose and having deep roots and all of that. And someone might just listen to all of that and ask the question of, okay, does it not seem like this guy has it all together and has a perfect life? And it's important that I just balance that conversation by saying that perfection is an illusion. And to expect a perfect life from a messy world is a bit of a stretch. So I don't have a perfect life, and I don't believe that a perfect life exists. What I've done is I have accepted myself for who I am. I have embraced my scars. I have embraced my failures. I have embraced my weaknesses as much as I have embraced my strength and my positive side. So ultimately, my encouragement to listeners is this. As you commence this journey, or as you continue this journey of becoming better versions of yourself, of your inner brilliance, I want you to keep in mind, there are days when our less than ideal self will show up, and that's okay. There are days when we would fall and falter, and that's fine. There are times when we might fail. Interestingly, I have failed in a lot of things in my life. Failed in business. My very first business failed within the first 2 years. Failed in relationships. Failed in so many areas of my life. But the one thing that I have failed to do is to let my failures define me. So I've picked up all the lessons from my failures. And today, I wear all of these scars like a badge of honor. These are the battles that I've fought. Some of them I've won. Some of them I lost. But in losing those battles, I won a lot. What did I win? I win lessons. I won lessons. I won experiences. I won strength. And so many others. By which today, I am a better person. I'm a stronger person. And I'm a wiser person. Had I not gone through some of those very terrible experiences, had I not made those mistakes in life, I probably would not be where I am today. So I'm grateful for the great times, but then I'm also very grateful for my failures. So all that to say that to embrace who we are, we must first acknowledge and embrace and accept our flaws, our weaknesses, and our failures, and understand that we would not be who we are authentically if we didn't have any of those. No life is all sweet like roses. No life is all successful without failures. But as we embrace our strength and our positivity and our positive sides, we must also embrace our flaws and our failures. Now, the totality of our being is a combination of our strength and our flaws.
So good. So good. No other way to say that. Thank you so much for adding that in. And thank you so much for being here, Babs.
Thank you. I really appreciate you.
Whew, what a so freaking powerful and so, so potent conversation. Oh my goodness. I hope you got so, so much value out of it. And more than anything, yes, of course, listening to Babs and the amazing things he's working on right now with his doctorate, his second book, his global conferences, and not to mention everything that he has done up to this point, like being a chief strategy officer, writing his first book, you know, all of these beautiful things. I want you to walk away and know that whatever you're doing right now, whatever you're working on is absolutely amazing right where you are. Even the vision, if it still fully exists inside of you and you still have this vision or this inner knowing that you're called for more wherever you are on this journey, it is absolutely amazing and so, so wonderful. So I wanted to be that voice pouring that into you today. And then also I want to share something that is so on my heart, and that's that High achievers and big dreamers, we go through stuff. Just because we are able to achieve more, just because we are capable of doing more, having more, and being more than the average person, just because we oftentimes look like we have it all together, does not mean that we do not face inner struggles, that we do not have things that rise up within us that we need to deal with. Oftentimes, from my perspective and with the clients I've worked with, a lot of times high achievers actually have more inner struggles because of those big dreams, because of those big dreams. And so if you're listening right now and you can relate to Babs' story, you can relate to maybe the imposter syndrome or the battle of accepting yourself or whatever it is, if you can relate to him on that, please do not shame yourself. Do not feel bad because those things are coming up. In fact, that's actually a good thing. It is such a good thing for high achievers and big dreamers to face things like that, because that is our indication that we are doing something amazing, that we are challenging our mind. We are stepping outside of what our current belief system says is possible for us and pushing that threshold, just like Babs does and has so many times. That is such a beautiful thing. So completely eradicate that thought in your mind that just because you're a high achiever and big dreamer does not mean that you're going to be perfect all the time and that you're not going to encounter inner problems, inner portals, upper limits, inadequacies, different things like that. There is no shame about it. Absolutely not. In fact, it's something to be proud of, something to wear on your sleeve, because you're getting closer. You are getting closer. You hear me? All right. There's another thing that when I was re-listening to this episode that came up for me that I want to also add in. And it's when Babs was talking about this constant battle and how questioning ourselves, the negativity that we experience is common. And it's always going to be common. And from my personal journey, and of course, professionally, I don't know about that. I do not know about that. I will say from my experience, the negativity looks different. And so we think that us having doubting thoughts, us facing imposter syndrome or struggling to be our authentic selves, whatever it is, we feel like it's a common thing. But it's because it's common because we commonly put up with it. Okay? It does not have to be that way. It does not have to look that way forever. Now, naturally, based on the hardwiring of our mind, and let's not even get into the beliefs and subsequent restrictions we've picked up and will continue to pick up because of our conditioning, we will always experience some kind of negative thoughts, some kind of negative emotions. I refer to this as contrast, because the goal is not to rid ourselves of all negative thoughts and all negative emotions. The question is, how long do we put up with them? How long do we let them rule our lives? How long do we allow them to consume our day? When is it time to learn better tools and internal strategies so that we aren't at risk at any given moment to be succumbed by the negativity? From my personal journey and professional experience, that point looks different for all of us. Some of us can be like Babs, where we establish this solid morning routine that completely anchors us into the solid place and the truth of who we are, and we are good for the rest of the day. We're soaring for the rest of the day. Some could benefit from a few tweaks here and there, and the negativity dissolves. That's all it is. And some have to get to the point where they are just so sick and tired of dealing with it, coddling it, and essentially letting it overpower them, that they have to get to the point where they say, enough is enough. I am going to feel aligned. I am going to be the best version of myself. I am going to be the most confident, satisfied, lit up, at peace version of myself. And nothing that is going on inside of me is going to rob me of that. Now, that looks different for all of us. So please, in listening to Babs, yes, solid morning routine, solid place of awareness, solid, just inner belief about himself and an inner knowingness, which is absolutely incredible. But please don't listen to that and assume, oh, my morning routine, if it works, then I'm good. If it doesn't work and I still struggle, then I'm bad. No, don't make those connections. So I just wanted to put that in there. No matter where you are on your journey, I am totally here for you. You are fully supported and I got you 1,000%. So you are in the right place. All right. Such a good episode. I know you are taking so much away from it. I cannot wait to hear on Instagram or when you email me of how this impacts you and what comes up for you after listening to this. So thank you so much for tuning in to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, and I'll see you next time.